Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, welcome everybody to another hour of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I am Brady Wright, my co-host Shane Osborne, the guru of all things mechanical, and Steve, the producer Johan, who is personally responsible for me being here and dedicating this show tonight to my wife, Georgia, because today is her birthday.
Oh, wow. Yo. And it was yours not too long ago.
Yeah, mine was last week. Yep, now we're both officially old, although she's
You know, that's really funny. You're a week apart from your wife. I'm a week. I'm like 3 days apart from my wife.
See, that's cool because then you can kind of do one thing for
exactly.
both of us.
Exactly. We go to Red Robin for the free dinner.
There you go.
Do you guys do that?
Yeah, big spender. We sometimes, yeah, but we do other stuff too.
And then you get the Denny's, free Grand Slam breakfast. And if you go to Starbucks, you get the free coffee.
Yeah, there's all that. Yeah, yeah.
I know where all that is. Yep. And I take advantage of it.
Yeah, of course you do. And you should.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you? Speaking of taking advantage, Shane, who normally is here sitting in the corner doing whatever it is that he does, is not with us tonight. His voicemail to me sounded sort of like this.
Yes, we don't want to go further.
So he's got some
he's
sort
got
of
the crud.
Creeping crud tonight. So we'll dedicate this show to him in his honor as well, and we'll be sure that we kind of whisper because Shane sort of whispers. Yes. You ready, big guy? We're coming for you tonight. Hey, Back to the Blacktop is our first segment, and as usual, we got a lot of cool stuff happening in the automotive industry. I got one for Steve, but I'm going to let him go first. What do you got, buddy?
Well, there is a lot. German ruling may have long-reaching effect on the future of diesel vehicles. Now, I keep bringing up the diesel vehicle thing.
Yes, you do.
In Germany and beyond. A German court issued a landmark ruling that gives several major cities permission to ban diesel vehicles from their urban centers, a move that could soon be copied by other communities across Europe.
So wait a minute. They're going to ban them from the urban centers, but they're still going to allow them out in the sticks? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, here's it is. Okay. The controversial decision is considered significant at several levels. Even though it initially applies only to bans proposed by heavily polluted cities of Dusseldorf and Stuttgart, the latter community is the home of Daimler AG, whose Mercedes-Benz subsidiary is heavily reliant on diesel technology.
It'd be pretty tacky if you couldn't drive your cars in your own town.
It really would. The ruling also comes as an embarrassment for German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who had opposed such a ban.
Mm.
So for now, the city's only plan is to restrict older, more heavily polluting diesel models, but could lead to further bans. I mean, I've not been to Dusseldorf or Stuttgart, but I'm sure that where... Let's put it this way. I remember as a child going to California in the 60s. We went to Disneyland, and my dad was commenting about how much smaller... You couldn't even see a couple hundred yards across the valley.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Was so bad. And in the 70s, they really started ratcheting things up, and by the 80s, they really, and that's where they have the CARB, which is the CARB Emissions California air quality thing. The reason is they had horrendous problems.
Sure.
Well, today, it's wonderful. You go down to Southern California,
it's mostly
clear. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
You come here in the Northwest after 30 days of no rain in the middle of the summer.
Well, yeah, but that's true of a lot of cities.
Yes.
You know, the air kind of sits. I have been to
both. Now, the fires didn't help.
No, of course not. Well, yeah, but that's a separate
that's
issue.
That's a separate issue.
I have been to both Dusseldorf and Stuttgart, and they're great cities, you know, very, very well done, both kind of industrial cities,
right.
Although there's more art and culture in Stuttgart probably, but not so much. And, you know, honestly, when I was there, I didn't notice an awful lot of pollution, an awful lot of smog, but there is some, especially during the rush.
Well, you compare it to China. There's But they are working, too. They're working to go electric. How would you like to own a bulletproof Tesla, Brady?
Okay, I'm in. I got $12.
Yeah,
it's going to cost more than that, isn't it?
Yes.
I know it is.
Well, thanks to a Utah-based company known for bulletproofing
Tesla.
Luxury cars, you can now order a bulletproof, bullet-stopping Tesla. International Armoring and several other companies have been taking high-priced luxury vehicles. And we know this to be true because Mercedes-Benz Cadillacs used in parades for presidents, et cetera.
Yeah, there's been armored vehicles for years.
Been around. Well,
the advantage now is that it's a lot lighter.
That's the technology.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Spectra Shield was the thing that changed the idea of bulletproofing forever, because it weighs a tenth of what the old stuff. It's even lighter than Kevlar.
Well, and if you look at, you've seen where the kind of glass that you use for cell phones,
mm-hmm.
the really high quality stuff, they've started applying that to windshields as well. And it's a really, really, really high quality, thinner material,
yeah.
lighter weight, but much stronger. So there's your bulletproof windows. Now, new study out from Center for Automotive Research noted states, consumers' interest in buying autonomous cars isn't what car manufacturers are making it out to be.
I love this story.
Instead, there is a vast more interest in hybrids and electrics. U.S. is also seeing a rise in mid-size SUVs as the driver choice being purchased today. It used to be Cadillacs, minivans. Now, it's SUVs.
Well, sure. Everything's an SUV or a crossover.
Four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive.
The big ticket.
And you've got something right on the tip of this, though.
Well, it's interesting that they're saying, well, self-driving cars, you know, may not be the thing. And this year, in 2018, the Cadillac CT6, which is their sporty thing,
right.
has a feature that is essentially autonomous. It's basically a hybrid cruise control. So you can be sitting there, you can put the thing on, and it clearly, I mean, it drives without you.
Right.
Now, they do say, don't go to sleep, you know, don't, you know, get in the back seat and read the paper. I mean, you want to stay.
That's why they pulled. Remember, they pulled the testing because people were falling asleep and reading newspapers.
Yeah, but, you know, to sit there and, hey, maybe I want to eat my hamburger. Maybe I want to, you know, have that ice cream cone and have both hands.
Hey,
who knows?
Maybe you can have a couple beers.
I don't know that. Probably not. At least you won't see that on the commercials. Now, what people are going to do with it.
Right.
But, yeah, it's apparently available as a feature now on the CT6. And I think that's fascinating, and I think what we ought to do, I think we ought to call up the guys at the local Cadillac dealer.
Oh, yes.
And say, we need to do a test drive for the show.
Yes.
And then we won't bring it back. No, we'll bring it back. We'll talk about it, but we will bring it back. I think that'd be a great thing to do.
And Brady, you already have a Cadillac. What year is yours?
Well, mine's a little older. I don't think they could retrofit it.
No.
But yeah, it's, and I've got an STS, which is, you know, it's older than that. But yeah, it's an amazing thing. And you know, wouldn't you just know that Cadillac would be the first
here in America?
Yeah.
It's our luxury car.
Well, it is. I mean, it's certainly one of the top-of-the-line ones.
I was watching, what was the Top Gear.
Yeah.
And they were showing the Escalade, and they were taking it around the track.
Right.
And they were commenting on, or actually I think it was just the Cadillac. They were saying, you know, for this size of a car, it handles really nice around the track.
Well, sure.
And for the price, too, compared to, let's say, you know, a high-end Mercedes or something, Cadillacs are still a really well-built car.
Well, it's a Tahoe with a lot of extra stuff on it.
Yeah.
And the Tahoe's
a winner.
But
even just your sedans are very hard.
Yeah, yeah. The CTS, the ATS, they're really nice vehicles.
They are.
Sporty, all the other good stuff. You betcha.
Now, here's,
and, you know, here's
oh,
the ultimate.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, here's the ultimate accessory for your self-driving Cadillac. How about a set of clear, see-through, I'm talking just like glass, Corningware wheels.
Okay, I'm looking at this. This is awesome.
Wheels for your car.
This is phenomenal.
There's an Italian company that's making them. It's not Formaggi, but it's close to that, because Formaggi is cheese, and I know it's not the cheese wheel. But it is. They're really cool. It's apparently some sort of hybrid polymer, and it is literally like glass. It's like looking through a Corningware dish. Now, the center, the hub and the bolt pattern is kind of smoked.
Yep.
Yeah, so you can see it. It looks like it might be a two-piece casting, but it's got it's put together so that I don't think it's actually a split rim, but you can see where they built it.
It almost would look. I mean, if you look at this thing, you're it's going to look like the tires are floating.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
absolutely
just floating through your on your. Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah, well, for people listening, when you hear this show, it'll obviously be a couple of days after we are recording.
You're going to post this?
By this time, I will have put it up on the Facebook page. You'll be able to see a picture. It is too cool.
Excellent.
Hey, glad to have you with us. The creator of a brand new Rat Rod Club in Spokane is just ahead with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust coming up.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johan. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on!
This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade trotting 4-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces of 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive. I'm four-wheeling.
All right, we're back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Brady, Shane, and Steve here as usual.
Yes.
It's time for the weekend. We'll shut.
What's happening next?
What's the. Shane is going to kill me when he comes back next week. What's up with the latest project vehicles? You know there are some cool things out there for sure. You had something.
I came across a really cool article. It's good news if you own a vintage Porsche.
Okay.
For those who don't know and aren't into Porsches, they have 52,000 parts in their Porsche catalog.
Oh, right, right.
Some original stock left over from production. Others are produced on original tools as stock runs low. But what happens when these tools wear out?
Ah, the tooling.
Yes, making new tooling is expensive, exceedingly so for a part sold, let's say, one every couple months.
Yeah.
Maybe once every 6 months.
Yeah, big spendy.
Well, according to the article, that's changing now. Porsche Classic has started to do 3D parts printing.
It was inevitable.
It is. Using a different method, the effort Porsche hopes will ensure lack of parts doesn't keep any car from doing what they want it to do, which is drive.
You know, as long as you had the CAD specs and whatever else you needed,
yeah,
you probably could reprint things, you know, not only like engine parts and suspension parts and other, you know, wear parts, but even body panels and things like that.
Well, and here's the thing. According to the company, Porsche Classic has started 3D prints using this. It's a selective laser sintering, S-I-N-T-E-R-ing, sintering. And are testing 20 or so parts. The first one is a clutch release lever for the 959. And there has been other companies producing replacement parts using 3D printers for a while now. But that being said, it looks Porsche is the first OEM to be using it. And on top of that, it looks as if one of their sister companies under the VW banner,
right,
Bugatti, is now doing it with new production brake calipers.
So your 1.7 million Veyron,
yes,
is going to have 3D printed caliper. I think that's cool.
Now,
that is as cool as it gets.
I have seen where people have taken this technology in. Also, you got like an A-arm. Let's say an A-arm on a traditional Chevy from the 60s. Really heavy and clunky. Now they can... It is what it is. But to lighten them up...
You got your basic really heavy, clunky Chevy A-arm.
Well, it is. I've got them on my El Camino, so
I know.
And I've had to pry them apart to put in new springs. So now they've got it so you can have the same A-arm, but it's completely using chrome moly piping.
Sure.
But can you imagine taking and doing that in a 3D polymer type material that's just as strong and half the weight?
Yeah, you'd have all the strength, half the weight.
And they're doing that with springs, I think. They're even doing with springs, are they not? Have you heard?
I don't know. I haven't heard about springs, but I could see that technology existing.
Yeah.
Sintering, you know what sintering is, right?
Well, tell me.
It basically, it's the way it constructs the steel. So instead of forging it or casting it, you basically take steel powder and you heat it and form it together that way. It's
okay,
pounded
together.
Okay,
that's what I have seen this.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
It is. I've seen people building gun parts. I've seen building all sorts of parts utilizing this technology. It kind of brings it together. Mm-hmm. I think it's just wonderful. I see people on their own personally being able to do this kind of thing. My dentist, when I go in, I have crowns.
He sintered some teeth for you, did he?
Well, with porcelain.
Steel teeth.
He just goes in there, makes a picture with this little thing.
Oh, yeah.
Next thing you know, he's got a 3D.
Yeah.
And he just
carves out.
They
can do it right there. There's
right
no
there.
2 week wait. You don't Bing. Have to get a temporary. Yeah, it's
still
a great,
expensive, but I get in and out in an hour.
Yeah, well plus, you know, the 3D technology by itself, the printer is what costs right now. They're kind of expensive,
oh, yes.
But they're coming down
they are.
To the point where it's going to be real viable to do that kind of stuff.
And another thing I wanted to do talk about was, speaking of parts, on February 29th, 2016, US Customs officers at the port of Jacksonville, Florida, detained a container arriving from the Middle East on suspicion that more than 10,000 Nissan auto parts were counterfeit, i.e. inside the container.
Okay.
The shipment belonged to AMG Trade and Distribution, a mom-and-pop importer in Pompano Beach, Florida. Well, the 15-month ordeal that followed nearly put AMG out of business and led to a stress-related health problems for co-owners Anthony Bakken and Michael Pacelli. Now the company is taking Nissan North America to court, telling the U.S. Customs and Border Protection the goods were that apparently North American Nissan had told them that they were fake goods, but they weren't. Here's the thing. The case sheds light on the murky world of gray market goods.
Oh, yeah.
Items that are technically legal but considered unfair by a manufacturer and automakers' efforts to stop their dealerships from straying outside official distribution channels for cheaper parts. In this case, the parts were genuinely brand name products from a reseller from overseas were manufactured but sold offshore.
Right.
They
manufactured to the specs they were supposed to be manufactured.
It is, and they were sold in Nissan. They are Nissan products, but they're sold offshore.
Right.
Well, they're intercepting.
Not for export, basically.
That's right.
But they exported them.
Well, they exported them.
But they didn't fall off a truck someplace. They were real. They were legit.
These are.
They just technically weren't supposed to be
so,
here.
So. And this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, well, 2016.
And the fact is, if you think about it, drug companies do the same thing in the United States.
Yes, they do.
You go to Canada or Mexico,
allegedly.
You buy
allegedly.
The same product, and you can get, okay, allegedly, you can go to Canada and Mexico and get the same product for half the price.
Yeah, or and sometimes a lot less.
Or
than
even
that.
A lot less than that. So U.S. has artificially built pricing, built structures and stuff, maybe to cover the overhead of the dealerships. I understand how that works. But nonetheless, dealerships are always trying to go around.
Sure.
Harley has had the same issue. They are
dead
set, get rid of all the non-Harley, sell only Harley whenever possible. Yes, you have the big catalogs of the aftermarket parts, but they really push the branded stuff. Even you can get a Gerbing heated
right.
For half the price.
Sure you can.
And that's what Harley is, a Gerbing jacket.
Right.
Anyway, this is going on. It'll be interesting.
It's when it says Horley. That's this is not motor company stuff.
Right.
It's Horley.
Horley.
Darvidson.
Or Nissan.
No, I don't think that's probably.
That's Nissan.
Nissan.
Oh, that's not the right stuff.
Probably not.
Otherwise, this is real things. And then I had a technical question to ask Shane, who's not here, but Shane, if you're listening, and I know you will be.
Yeah, call us.
You can call us next week. You can answer this. But race engines, are they still using normally aspirated, or are they using, i.e. supercharged, all that kind of thing, or are they now switched to EMI?
I'm going
to
say that an awful lot of them are EMI, or EFI, because
EFI.
Why would you mess with a carburetor when you could instantly remap the thing? by just changing, you know, the computer.
You're taking a base block, let's say, with just a slight bit of modifications from the 60s, and now you've got that same block with four valves instead of two, and the EFI in the mapping, and all of a sudden you're getting 700 horsepower out of an engine that was getting,
I mean, obviously it's more than that, but 300.
Talking the new Demons.
Sure.
These engine, the baseline, what's the base model of that? What's the block? What's the size of the block? What's the size of the Ford? They go by liter today. So if we were to go, is it still a 350, 302, 400? What's the size?
No, they're 7.7 or something like that liters.
So it's like a 440.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
the Demon is.
So you take a 440 from the past and you apply the heads and the new technology on top. Now you got yourself a 700 horsepower engine.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm pretty sure
that the, you know, there's more.
Well, I know that
stuff. You know, but I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
I don't know why you would use a carburetor in that situation when you can, again, when you have much more flexibility with an EFI and
so
all the computers.
With your rat rod, are you going to go with an EFI?
No, because first off, the motor is old enough that carburetors are the way it was. I don't want to complicate things. Plus, I'm just old school enough that I understand carburetors.
What I'm asking.
I don't want a computer if I can possibly avoid it. And the motor, I have a motor, it's a 75.
Yes.
So there's no point
in
fiddling with that. I got a great big four-barrel Rochester, which is going to be just fine.
Right.
And it's not going to be a real high, you know, end engine. So, yeah, simple is better. Simple is always better. Hey, stay right with us. The weekly trivia question is coming up. More horsepower, chrome, and rust. And a guy with a brand new rat rod club in Spokane. Just ahead.
Hey, everyone. Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz drag.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punkle Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismel, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismel. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
My old stomping ground. Well, this is the third segment of the show. Right now, we're on the phone with a guy in Spokane, Washington. His name is Kevin Martin, and he is the creator of a brand new rat rod club called Rat Ship Crazy Rat Rods Club. And boy, does he have a story to tell. So yeah, welcome, does. Kevin.
Hey, brother. How are you?
And we're happy to have you on. How's the weather over there in Spokane? Any snow?
Yeah, plenty of snow, and very cold.
Well, you can keep it. That's fine. We had ours for the year. We're all done over here in the Northwest. That's great. Hey, so I'm glad to have you on. Steve doesn't know this, but Kevin and I were sharing a conversation a little earlier tonight about adoption, but that's not really the topic of our of our show.
Yeah.
I understand, Kevin, that the way that Kevin and I kind of got hooked up, I saw his posts on Facebook when you kind of got your club started. It hasn't been going on for all that long, and I just liked, first off, I love your logo, but I also was kind of interested in how you decided it. And there may be a lot of people listening to the show who are thinking about, you know, it'd be kind of nice to have a car club. I wonder how I would do that, and you just did it. So tell us about that. How'd you get Ratchet Crazy started?
Well, it's a conglomeration there's six of us that started this whole thing. You know, one thing we try to point out is we are not a car club. We're actually kind of an anti-car club.
Oh, better. I like that.
Yeah, it came about sitting in car club shows and such, staring at each other for hours on end, saying there's got to be something better than this, and this is the very typical way of doing things. You know, what can we do to enjoy ourselves a little bit more and do it just a little bit different? And that's where we really started focusing on the build of the car and the drive of the car rather than the show of the car.
You know, it's a kind of a common thing you see on some of the, especially, honestly, the rat rod sites. The line is, you got to drive them. And that's really, if I had to put something down that's just the kind of a hallmark of people who are really into cars, building them is fun, showing them is fun, talking about them is fun, but driving them is the thing. So it sounds to me like you guys really got together around destination drives and multi-day events and stuff like that. Tell me about some of that.
Well, again, that kind of started with a very simple Facebook post. I was bored when the season ended and put out there to, you know, the group that we do know, hey, you know, there's got to be something better than sitting in a parking lot staring at each other. What can we do? And it just took on a life of its own on, hey, you know, and the Northwest is so beautiful. Why not see it in an 80-year-old car?
Absolutely. I don't think there's a bad road out here.
There's not. And so we started putting together our heads of, okay, let's, you know, we're a bunch of super crazy people, so let's go big right off the bat. And we put together an event called the Rat Rod 500, and it just came together sitting, talking, and just spitballing. And it has grown to, I think, what will be a monster event here in June.
So now, what is it? Tell us about that.
Yeah, the 500 gives us kind of a clue. Are you actually driving 500 miles?
Well, it started out that way, but those of us in Spokane, by the time we get to the start point and get home, we'll be almost 1,200 miles in 4 days.
That's very cool.
Okay, so what's the route?
Super cool.
What's the route?
We are starting and meeting in Hood River, Oregon. We're going to drive, pardon me for not having all the, I don't know all
no,
the
that's okay.
highway names, but we're going to go up towards Mount Hood. Up to government camp. We're doing it in three different segments, knowing that we are driving old cars. You know, we're going to do fuel stops. We're going to do cool down stops.
Sure.
So we're going to do three 45 to 50 mile segments, ending in Prineville, Oregon, which is outside of Bend.
Right.
Yep. Bend's awesome.
That'll be great. Yeah, so you're going to end down there, and then what, everybody kind of splits and goes back to wherever they came from there by the route they choose?
Gosh, no, that's just the first day.
Oh, perfect. All right. Sorry.
No. So then we've got events. We've got a gentleman in Prineville, and that's how Prineville came about versus Bend. And he took this on, and he's got 3 full days of, we're getting together that evening. They're kind of closing the town down, and we're going to meet at an establishment. Then the following day, which will be Friday morning, we are getting together for a breakfast. A local steakhouse never opens for breakfast, and is going to open up and do a breakfast for our group, which should be 100 people.
Wow.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Then we're doing a 200-mile poker run through the mountains in the desert of Oregon.
Got to do a poker run.
And we're going to not only have a poker run winner, but we're going to half the proceeds will benefit a local charity up there in Prineville.
Excellent.
Friday night, we're closing down, again, kind of a local establishment there. We're doing a car show with some funky awards, a little bit different type stuff.
Sure.
The next day, we've got it's a 4-full-day event that started just a bunch of guys talking about driving their cars.
That's
great.
It kind of reminds me of what the Power Tour was to Hot Rod. I mean, you're going all the way across the United States with these things, and I often thought that would be so cool—just a bunch of people doing city to city in their total rad out cars. And you're taking that idea and doing the same thing. I mean, you got some car clubs, that's what they do up here, the Corvette Club. They travel all over the place.
Sure.
But, those are luxury cars compared to what the average rat rod or hot rodder has when it comes to reliability. So and I would suspect people are going to be carrying tools and things like that to help each other out in case you have curbside issues.
Yeah, I mean, if you own a rat rod, you own a big toolbox. So,
okay, good.
That's what the trailers are for, aren't they? I mean, come on.
Yeah. We've got some chase rigs set up. We're kind of a challenge. A couple of my buddies were ribbing me pretty hard because I drove all over to the coast last year 6 times, I think. But I did it on a trailer. And I'm known as the trailer queen. And I just challenged myself this year, whether I blow it up or they're going to tow it into Prineville, I'm driving this thing. And
so what are you driving?
I've got a 36 Dodge sedan.
Oh, very cool. I had a 38 Plymouth, so I'm right there with you. I know what you got.
Identical.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Neat cars. Talk to us a little bit about the overall makeup of your club. Is it all based there in Spokane, or is it actually expanded to other areas where people just become part of the club via Facebook and your blog or whatever, and then they can come in and join you? So talk to us about that part.
Yeah, your non-club.
That's exactly the original 6, and when you started this off, you did state that I started this. I didn't start this. This was all 6 of us.
It was a
collaborative effort for sure. But there's 3 of us here in Spokane. There's one in Rat Rod Richardson is over in Pasco.
Right,
Gary Estes is in Issaquah.
Yeah, we know Gary.
And Sean Barter is down in Prineville, Oregon. And that's where it started, and the banter started and everything. And it's grown to a little over 1,200 people on Facebook worldwide, actually. We're having conversations almost daily with people in England and Canada and Argentina and Brazil. It's just been a fun little, kooky little following.
That's great. And interestingly enough, I got cousins and family in Spokane, in Valley Forge, actually.
I got an aunt and uncle in Spokane.
And I got cousins
in
Pasco and Burbank, and I know Gary, so I feel like I'm family already.
Who doesn't know Gary?
Well, yeah, there's that.
I got a my wife has a family down in Weezer, Idaho, so that's kind of like down in that heading to Prineville area. So
Very much so. Yep,
nice.
I'm familiar. Yeah.
So tell us about once you get done with your 500-mile challenge, are you guys thinking about maybe branching out to things like the Rat Rod Ruckus in Vegas or some of the other Rat Rod events, or what's down the line?
This has been the focus this year, and the Ruckus is coming up too soon. So
yeah.
I've really been focusing on. We've got 3 or 4 drives, but there are 3 or 4 guys from the area headed to the Ruckus and driving their cars, which is again something we really challenge ourselves to do. And I'm just, we got builds that are still halfway in the middle, and they're headed to the Ruckus next month. here we are almost there now. So
that's aggressive.
We're doing the Rustorama 10 in Salem.
Okay.
And we're all driving, so that's a heck of a haul.
Yeah, that'll be a nice little jaunt from Spokane.
Yes, we did it last year on trailers. This year we're going to do it in cars. It's just going to be a blast.
There you go.
We're doing the Good Guys Show in PUL up. We're trying to get the biggest rat rod display put together that they've seen.
Excellent.
And we're all driving to that as well. We've got another one up in Montana. And then, of course, we all end the year with the Long Beach Run.
Sure. Now, do you join forces? We got, like, the Rat Bastards up here, and we've got a couple that have been one of our earlier guests. Do you join up with other clubs and say, hey, let's just rally, let's bring everybody together under one big banner, and let's have a lot of fun?
That's exactly what's happening. You mentioned, you know, Ron with the Bastards.
You bet. He's been here.
Talking with, who are some of the other guys? The Olympic Peninsula Racers. I'll see them at a few different races.
Yeah, Street Freaks is up here. There's another cruising group. There's several. I mean, obviously you can.
Well, what I like about this is you don't have to dump 30,000, 40,000, 100,000 into a car to be part of a rat rod club. You can just take what you've got. It can be rusty, and you can have a lot of fun with it and call it a rat rod. And I love that because now a kid that doesn't have a lot of money could go out, have his first car that's got a bunch of rust on it or just whatever, do a little bit of mods to it, have a lot of fun, and he's not going to have or she's not going to have a ton of money just starting out the gate, are they?
No, that's exactly the case. I mean, it's we started out building our cars. You know, there's that phantom number everybody out there throw. The true rat rodders try to stay under $3,000 start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's really difficult to do if you want to be safe and have good brakes. And, you know, but it is doable, and a few of us have done it. I think I've got $5,000 or $6,000 into my car.
Yeah.
It cruises down the freeway at 80 miles an hour and does everything I want it to do. And it's 90% original.
See, now, and I'm right there with you. I've got a 41 Jimmy pickup that I followed Gary down the rabbit hole, and I put it on an Isuzu chassis, but I've got a 455 Buick that is going to go in there when I'm finished with the setting up the powertrain. So my goal, having looked at Rat Rod Magazine and Tommy Ring's column, I thought, I can do this for $2,000. Well, you can't. You know, I'll probably have $5,000 into it by the time I'm done.
Yeah.
But I also bump up against my skill level, like so many guys do. I know I could do it, but I don't want it to fall apart while I'm driving it. So I'm going to have some guys who are better at welding than I am help me out. You know, it's that kind of a thing. So
it's very much so that way. It's and we've got such a good group of dudes that if something happens, you can count on every one of them. I don't care what they're wearing. They're going to crawl under, lay in the dirty cement in the, next to the freeway and work on your car with you.
Sure. And you know, that's the beauty of it, because I'm certainly willing to get dirty. I just may not have all the answers, but somebody will.
Well, and when you're with a club, isn't that one, and quote, club in percent,
a group.
Parentheses, group.
A group.
When you're with a car group.
A crew.
Part of the reason is now you're joining forces with other like-minded individuals, and you can pool your assets. So let's say Brady's doing something, and then he can call up Ron, or he can call up Shane, or he can call up any number of people he's made relationships with in the culture and say, hey, guys, can you help me out? I'm working on this. I can't do it on my own. Could you come over? And it's just like the old days when you just call your buddies over and you swap out an engine or you change out a front end or springs or whatever. You just get under there together and you make it happen. Am I correct on that?
Very, very much so to the nth degree. In fact, with social media, we can do it online nowadays.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
I've got a guy, you know, down over in Montana, and he'll put out a quick I did it a week ago. I put a thing out there with a four-wire, the old blinker on the steering column, but it's only a four-wire.
Oh, I saw that.
Figure out how to use the darn thing.
Yeah.
And within 10 minutes, I had 17 diagrams up here on my screen. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing how we all help each other out.
Well, you know, for the people who are listening, I cannot say often enough, and I try to say it with everybody that we bring on, there are websites. You guys have a Facebook page, and we're going to put all of that information on our page and share that with everybody. But, you know, if you're in the hobby or you're just getting started, spend time on social media. We didn't have it when we were growing up, but it's really worthwhile. Kevin, thanks so much for talking with us tonight. Kevin's with the Rat Ship Crazy Rat Rod group, and we're going to, again, put all of that on our Facebook page and share information for the people who are interested.
And we're going to get him back on in the middle.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you after the event. And
yeah,
or
once
maybe
you've
just
done your thing.
Yes.
Yeah, get with us again.
That'd be great.
Excellent.
I look forward to that.
Well, thanks a lot for being on with us. We appreciate that, and we will be in touch.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You bet. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
You bet.
So we are going to have our trivia question and also the ever-popular calendar of events and rallies, plus a story that might just make you think about cars you used to have. All that's coming up on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street.
Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade 24-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces of 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Segment of the show.
Stop.
This is Cars Confidential, where we tell stories of races won and lost. Brady, hey, what's the story this week? We can't help but rib our friend Shane.
Shane. He's not feeling well tonight.
He's hugging the porcelain god right now.
Poor guy. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
No.
He'll be back next week.
He will.
Well, I do have a story, actually a pretty good one. As you know, those of you who listen on a regular basis, the Old Car Nut book series is a marvelous compendium of stories and anecdotes about automotive things. David Dickinson is the author, and there are three books in the series. This one is from book two, and it's a story from a guy named Larry Montana, and the story is called I Can Do That. When I graduated from high school, I was working at the sawmill like many of the older guys that came and went before me. It was something that was available part-time and was fine while I was in school, but I wanted to get a job at a local auto body shop. So Richter's Auto Body got me into my first year apprenticeship and full-time employment, and it was like a dream come true. I was still driving the 37 Chevy that I had painted with my grandma's vacuum. Now, I don't know what he means by that. It conjures up some interesting pictures, but nevertheless, it still had a very precarious steering box and front end, and it drove like a fishing lure. There's another analogy that I'm not sure I understand, but You know, it's Larry. What are you going to do? The old farmer next door to me helped me follow my dreams in building the car, including help in accomplishing some things that the others had said, you can't do that. So with 2 weeks off that summer of 76, before starting my apprenticeship, I found myself driving to the coast, even though my car's steering was getting worse and felt like the front axle was going to fall out. My trusty old Chevy was on its last legs, and I had no tools, no shop, and no money. Yeah, that sounds like a high school
trip. Oh, yes.
I was about to become stranded when I found myself at Mission Raceway. And there, I found someone to make a deal with and traded my 37 for a 66 Barracuda strip car that ran in the tens. This was a pretty good trade.
Wow.
This guy must have been drunk when you...
I say so.
We clamped a couple of mufflers on it.
And Mission Raceway, isn't that up in Canada?
Yeah.
And I went right up over the border.
Yeah, so the Barracuda was shelled out, meaning that everything had been removed to eliminate excess weight. Other than a driver's seat, there was absolutely no interior. So with no noise dampening materials, it was definitely loud. I vision a birdcage frame where he's actually sitting on the bell housing.
Yes.
The only thing it did besides shake and rattle was roll. Cute. The brake rotors were so badly warped that the car could barely stop, and with a spool posi rear end, it didn't turn very well either. The skinny pizza cutter tires up front just compounded the maneuverability problem. I'm starting to understand why the trade was made.
Yes.
But when you kicked in the six-pack and the powerful V8, it could only be called scary fast. This car was designed just to go straight, and I was returning home with that muscle to teach my hometown what fast really was. I wasn't in town for more than 15 minutes before I was pulled over. After quite some time and a lot of explaining on my part, the police allowed me to take the Barracuda home, and there followed months of me burning more than rubber. I was burning bridges with the locals and getting into too much trouble. I decided I didn't need a different car, but I certainly needed a bigger town. So without delay, I packed up, fired up, and burned rubber out of town and headed to the city of Kelowna, B.C.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who aren't aware, that's just east of Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
By a few miles. I walked into the normal-looking shop where I told them that I was a first-year apprentice. I asked if I had any fiberglass experience, and I told them about a canoe that I had made in school. That must have been good enough, because I was told to be in after lunch, and that was that. So I walked through the door of the Corvette shop. Boss Gill had pictures on the wall of him racing dragsters. There were Corvettes being cut up, custom kits getting glued on, a Mustang with way too big of tires and wheels on it. I wanted to say what I'd been forced to listen to for years. You can't do that. However, with my will to learn, I just shut up and learned. My head was swelled and swelling even more, and suddenly I was a Corvette customizer and hot rod builder. At only 18 years old, I owned a fast car, had the girls, and some well-earned money. When I left Creston, one door had closed, and one big one had opened. The shop was sold to a Ford dealership in Fort McMurray, Alberta, but because I was known to be a hard worker, I was asked to help relocate the shop and my life in North Country, and I quickly found myself saying, well, heck yeah, big money. So I entered in the city of Fort Mac, standing in a big empty shop with a semi full of tools and another truck with a paint booth. I was told, start building. So I helped start the very first Ford dealership in Fort Mac. I was in charge of all the operations. A short time before that, I wouldn't have even dreamed that was possible. I had two employees, two warranty jobs, and although I had not ever yet really done a real paint job, I was running a Ford dealer's body shop.
Wow.
The whole world had opened up, and it was a bit overwhelming, to say the least. After a few months, I was scheduled to be back for my apprenticeship course, my second year in Kelowna. It was all new cars, and despite my short time at the Ford store, I felt at a loss. Where were the race cars, the customizing projects? I packed up in search of what I wanted to do, which was build cars. So it was back to the people that knew what I wanted to know. That's when I met Andy Stashenko, a customizer, backyarder, and home booth painter, and with my knowledge of fiberglass, welding, and fabricating, I was hired, and this is where I learned how to be a backyarder, which, 35 years later, I still am today. I've owned a few houses, built a few shops, I kept meeting more car builders and working on building cars for them. One of them was Keith Karecki, and Keith is the owner of K&S Machine Shop. We built plugs, molds, other parts, and we assembled race cars, one being a Pro Mod 67 Shelby. I also did many of his personal rides. The pace was hectic, and I was living life in the fast lane. I was always driving fast muscle cars and partying. I had the money. I had the fun. I had lived a life of people telling me, you can't do that, but I did it anyway. Whether it was right or not, and I may not have taken the right road in life, but I lived a wild, crazy, fast, and daredevil existence. I had never gone hang gliding, so I did. I took lots of risks until I crashed. I raced on the street and got told, you can't go that fast. I did, until I crashed, and even ended up in jail. Believe me, when the government and the police say, you can't do that, they're right.
Mm-hmm.
I moved away from the fast lane, back to my hometown, and regained my sanity. Still known as a car guy, I opened a shop and started building cars again, and after the small-town money guys had spent their cash, I decided to move again, intending to go back to Kelowna. Knowing there was lots of money there, but maybe trouble again, I stopped in a small town named Grand Forks and decided to stay. Over time, I built 2 shops and started down the fast lane once more. These days, I pulled back a bit and downsized. I live the good life, doing what I enjoy, and staying out of trouble. I can do that.
That is so cool.
You know, it's funny. People in the car business or the car life have a lot of stories just like that. And the key thing seems to be do what you love, and everything else kind of follows.
It does.
These are all from the Old Car Nut book. Again, David Dickinson, the author. Oldcarnutbook.com or Evancourt Press. There are 3 books in the series, and they do make a terrific gift. The weekly trivia question is still to come, and we got a hint at next week's show. Plus, some things coming up in the ever-popular club scene, rally scene, events stuff, and we got a bunch of those things to talk about down the line.
Well, we do, Brady, and I just thought it was just interesting to kind of finalize this. Hemming's find of the day is a Manx special edition dune buggy.
A Manx? Really? God, you don't see those things very much.
A really cool article about Manx dune buggy is in the Hemmings website. Just go to hemmings.com, and it's quite a lengthy, but he made an extended Manx to go on an actual VW without having to chop the VW.
Oh, nice, because that was always the deal.
Yes,
you had
that
to
was.
Take out a section.
Because he came out with a new one here in, I guess, in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And so I have a fondness of those things because my dad bought one, not his, one of the 300 other companies that made it. But nonetheless, it was a fiberglass dune buggy, and many, many a day was spent riding around with my father in that. So
those Manx kits were very, very cool.
They were. Well, we're going to be right back with our trivia question and a hint of next week's show. So park it and stick around. We'll be right back with more of the show.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of Sea.
Hang on till right after these messages.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Back road, and I'll back road. Take me anywhere you want to go, back road. With my windows down.
Well, welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel, where we talk about events and the club scene, movies and cruise-ins and books and the weekly trivia question, too. We got a lot of pretty cool things coming up. March is going to be a good month, and April promises some, you know, serious action in the event stuff. First thing coming up in March is the 11th. That's going to be the Volkswagen Family Cruise Car Meet. That's out in Issaquah, Washington. But people come to that thing from all over the place. Shane will probably be there because he's a Volkswagen guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the also on the 10th and 11th in Central Washington, they got a custom car and motorcycle show in Yakima, Washington, which is pretty cool. 2-day event and some pretty interesting concerts and stuff that evening.
When is that one?
That is the 10th and 11th of March, so two weeks away. Yeah, coming up.
It's still going to be kind of cold over there.
Yeah, maybe so, but then, you know.
It's March, but we don't care. That doesn't matter to
us. When does that ever stop people? No. I mean, after all. Then the 16th and the 18th, now we're getting serious. That is the 16th through the 18th, I should say, is the Portland Roadster Show. And that'll be in Portland. It is a huge event. It's one of the first big Roadster shows in the circuit, and that's going on, like I say, down in Portland. And then the 17th and 18th here in Western Washington at the Puyallup Fairgrounds is the Almost Spring Swap Meet and Car Show.
Mm-hmm.
So a good one. And then I'm going to give a little bit of advance notice on this one. The 13th and 14th of April is an event down at LeMay, America's Car Museum, the M&M Wine and Spirits Affair in Tacoma. So you can sip wine, hold your pinky out, and enjoy.
What's the M&M stand for?
I have no idea.
We'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a good one, though. Anything that happens at LeMay is usually pretty classy.
Hey, maybe they want us to be MCs one of these days.
That would work as long as they don't have Lance first.
Oh, gosh, he's always down there in his
Lance Lambert,
that falls apart on the highway.
Yeah, Lance Lambert, our buddy and our friend of the show.
Yes, he is.
Hey, so every week we do a trivia question, and this week, yet again, we have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. Denny Boland.
Oh, cool.
Denny Boland got to us on Facebook. He sent an actual email and said, I know the answer because last week we asked about the Michelin Guide. These days, the Guide Michelin is almost as much about restaurants and hotels as it is about cars, but it started out being mostly a list of gas stations in France where you could be sure to get your car fixed. That tells you how long ago this was. Our question was when, and Denny came up with it. It was 1900 that the first Michelin Guide.
Oh, my gosh, I was thinking 24.
Oh,
1900.
Yeah, 1900, the first Guide Michelin. Again, mostly a list of gas stations, all three of them, probably.
Wow.
Can you imagine? So, yeah, congratulations to Denny. Nice job. And, again, if you guys want to make a guess for the trivia question, all you got to do is hit us on Facebook, Horsepower Chrome and Rust, and or you can go to contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. I'm okay. And give us the answer to the trivia question. This week's question is just as cool as the Michelin question. Padded dashboards. They were pretty important.
Didn't we do that one
already?
No.
I'm sorry. I backed up. Padded dashboards was 2 weeks ago. No, this one is even better. This is the very first U.S. toll roads.
Oh.
The government found a way to charge us to drive. And you think this is something new?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. The very first toll roads opened in Pennsylvania and Connecticut.
But we're going to ask when.
We're going to ask when.
Wow.
If you know, horsepowerchromeandrust.com, go to the Facebook page, Horsepower Chrome and Rust, or just hit contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com.
And speaking of horsepowerchromeandrust.com,
yes, sir.
I'm going to be having some new stuff on there very shortly, so keep an eye out for
very
it.
Very nice.
And hopefully next week I can say cool stuff's up there.
Super. Well, the music's our cue to hit the gas. Thanks to Kevin Martin from Ratship Crazy Rat Rods. Be sure to like our website and our Facebook page and check out the archive for all our shows at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne, Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome and Rust.